card here to read. I know I haven't explained to you, some of y'all are about to jug over here, but jug is what money goes in it, is gonna be to help support the revival or missionaries or whatever what we're gonna do. We hadn't, I don't know exactly which it is or what I brought up, but it's gonna be one or the other. But, okay, here's a card. You have been such a kind and you have such a kind and generous spirit. You never miss a chance to say something nice, do something good, or share something positive. You are a blessing and appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for your thoughts and the beautiful cards. God loves you. Virginia Mustang, that's my mother. She enjoys the cards that y'all send to her, and she always has. She always loved getting cards and reading them. And so but if you will, this morning, for a little while here, turn in the Word of God into John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the provision of the Lord, what He provides for the Christians, for the saints of God. And He provides so much more than what I'm going to give you this morning. But I thank Him every day for what He does provide me, in the way He protects me and takes care of me and keeps me out of harm's way. But here in chapter 6, verse 26, says, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perished, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should praise up, we should raise it up again at the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I want to go back up and I want to look at two verses. In verse 37, it says, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I want to try to, this morning, to bring a message on this thought. The provisions that God provides each one of us. But the first provision is the security that he provides for us each and every day of our lives as Christians, as saints of God. And we can know that we are the true saints of God. And we can know that we are not only the true saints of God, but we are the one that has been fed from heaven. We have the manna from heaven, and we know that. And we know also that we've been fed from the bread that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us and gives us each and every day that sustains our body. But this message is addressed to all who think that they are saved but are not certain. We have a whole lot of people out here today that says, yes, I'm saved today. And tomorrow they say, well, I got so many things going on, I just don't know. I mean, I don't understand how people can believe one day that they're saved and going to heaven, but the next day that they don't. I just don't understand it. How could they serve two masters? And that's what they're serving. They're trying to serve God and trying to serve the world also. And that's the reason they forget about the first one when they come to him and they say, well, I know that I'm going to heaven. And then the next day something will come about or something will happen in their life and that they say, well, I ain't so sure. Well, I'll say this. First of all, I think they need to get down on their knees and they need to repent and confess of the sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and make him a personal. You can make him personal to you. And that's what they need to do. They need to make Jesus Christ personal. Because when they do, then not only that, he gives them the security that can come by making him a personal to each one of us. John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his ghost. This was a finished work. He finished his work that he had to do. Now, have we finished our work since we become a Christian? No, we haven't. Reason we haven't is because we're still here on earth. We still have the Holy Spirit speaking to us and going about, round about, and we need to continue on. Now, I know a whole lot of times I'll stand up here and I'll say, "I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. If the Lord comes back and he wants to take me home today, or if he wants to call my name and say, 'Come up hither, Donnie,' you know, I'll go. And I won't have heartbreaks about it, nothing like that. And I hope and pray my wife and my daughter and the people and the friends that I leave behind, that they can look and they can see that where I have left a testimony behind. That's what my prayer life is, that I can leave the testimony behind, that they won't have to suffer. They won't have to cry, that they can rejoice. They can rejoice because another one has gone to heaven. That's what we need to do. We need to rejoice over the ones that goes on and we know has gone to heaven. We need to weep for the ones that's brought into this world, because we know not what they're going to go through, because what we have been through, they cannot go through, because they don't have the strength. They don't have the God's precious word upon them to go, because they're born into sin. And we know that, because we can go back and look at the first Adam, and where was Adam and Eve there? They was born into sin. That's when Cain and Abel, they was born into sin. And from that point on, when an individual is birthed into this world, they're birthed into sin. But it's up to the Christians that's left behind. It's up to us to be able to take them and teach them and nurture them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord and teach them the Word of God and teach them what's right and teach them what's wrong. And it's up to us to do that. And if we don't do it, no one else will. Because I hate to say it today, but the parents, I hear, you have so many parents I hear today, they don't teach the children anything. They don't teach the children how to do right and how to do wrong. No, because they give the child everything the child needs. I tell you what the child needs today, they need more correction than they do where their parents would turn around and just continue giving to them. We are in a giving mood. And thank God that we are in a country and we've lived in a nation where we can go out and work and we can keep a portion of our paycheck. And yes, we can raise our children and we can raise them in the way of the Lord. But the Word of God can give us security in knowing that if we will just raise our children in the way of the Lord, in the way the Lord wants them raised, that will give us security. That not only gives us security, but it gives us hope. It gives us hope because in what we're teaching them, and you know, sometimes, a whole lot of times, the parents will end up dragging the children to church. And, you know, it's not that they need to be dragged to church, but, you know, they need to be taught that they need to go to church. They need to be taught that. They don't need to get up on Sunday morning and where the mother and the father said, "Well, son, daughter, now you know it's Sunday. Now you go in there and get ready and let's go to church." No, they should have been taught during the week. So when Sunday comes, that the parents won't have no discussion about it, because the child will just get up and go in there and get dressed and want to come to church. That's what they want to do. But the reason they don't want to today is because a whole lot of parents don't want to do. They don't want to come to church. And I tell you, it's sad for parents not wanting to come to church and to bring the children. Ain't going to be much longer. You have a good day.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye. But we need to love our children enough where we will do everything we can during the week to teach them that on Sunday it's church time. Mama, I don't feel good this morning. Son, you felt fine yesterday. You felt fine last evening. What's my this morning? Well, I got a cold this morning, and I don't think I need to go to church, because if I go to church, I'll give somebody else the cold. And he ain't coughed a bit. Ain't even got a runny nose, but yet. Why? Why do the children do that today? Because the parents has not taught them during the week. You just don't teach them on Sunday. The church is not a place of where is a babysitter for the parents. Where the parents can come and drop the children off. And that's what a whole lot of parents do today. They come and they drop the children off at church. You know the reason they do that? Because the parents want to have some alone time. Well, if they wanted to have some alone time, then they should have thought about that 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. They should have thought about that when they was going to raise, start having a family. You don't start out going having children and everything and then say, well, that child, I can't do nothing with that child. And here it is. Mother be weighing 115, 120 pounds, and child probably weighing maybe 25, 30 pounds. Why can't you do anything with the child? You can do something with a child. You just have to speak to the child. And you have to let the child know who is boss. But today, who is the boss in the family? Who is the boss? The children are. They're the boss. They tell mama what mama can do. They tell daddy what daddy is going to do. And if they don't, then they throw a little tantrum. Well, they throw tantrums all they want. But they don't realize that what we are doing here, we're trying to help them, and we're trying to help the parent to look after the children in the right way. Why? Because God cares for them. God cares for them. Christ finished work on Calvary, which was necessary for our salvation. It was finished. That's the reason that I enjoy coming to church. That's one of the reasons I enjoy and coming to church. Why? Because I experienced the finished work that was done there at Calvary. And that was the plan of salvation. He finished that work for me. He finished it for you that we could have salvation. want our salvation that we're gonna lose, or he gonna say, well, I tell you something, son, said you ain't been living right, so I'm gonna just wipe your slate right. I'm gonna wipe it clean. You're not gonna have no blood on you. You're not gonna have no salvation. You're gonna have to defend for yourself. You want to defend for yourself? You defend for yourself. No, ain't the way God works. Once God saves you, you're saved. A whole lot of people are here today. Yes, I believe we have Christians out here today that's not in church. We can see it in some of their lives where the chastisement of God has been on them, where God has took them behind the woodseed, behind the woodshed, and give them a good old-fashioned whipping. Nobody's ever had a good old whipping until they had a whipping from God. When God gives you a whipping, when God gets a hold of you, he don't just whip on the outside. You will feel it on your heart. You will feel it in your heart. You won't just feel it because somebody has come by and the preacher was up there preaching and he stepped on your toes. Well, he can step on my toes all he wants to, but he ain't done his duties for today. He ain't done what God asked him to do. He ain't delivered the message in a way that it would touch my heart. That's what we need to do. We need to realize that we're not just teaching, we're just preaching to people, but we're preaching to the people that the Word of God will have a lodging place on the heart and not in the mind or in the stomach or in the feet or in the hands or nothing else. It's right there in your heart. And now then, the only way you'll get it out of your heart and you'll get the problems that is in your heart out, just turn around your life and you'll start living for God. We need to keep the faith. How do we keep the faith? With God's security. God secures us with his faith. I reckon you notice I preach a whole lot on faith. I bring up faith a whole lot. And I believe we need to bring it up more and more. Because people today, they're not dependent on the faith. They're not dependent on what faith that they have. And they'll say, well, I don't have no faith. You come to church this morning. You have faith. You had faith in coming to church this morning. So you had some kind of faith that will draw you. Some kind of faith that will help you this morning for this afternoon. And you come back tonight. And when you come back tonight, faith is what brought you back tonight. Faith is what brought you here to the house of the Lord this morning. Faith will bring you back tonight. Faith will bring you back Wednesday evening. Faith will help you to go out and be a witness this week. Faith will help you to go and tell someone else that you love them. Not only do you love them, but Jesus also loved them. Why? Because Jesus has bought them with a price. And he's bought us with a price. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse chapter 6 and verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are bought with a price. And that price was his shed blood. And it death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the price that he paid for me and for you. Was I worth it? No. Am I worthy of it? No. Did I have enough righteousness on me to deserve it? No. Did you? No. None of us did. But he went to Calvary. And he bought our sin with a price, with his life. That all we had to do, when the Holy Spirit would speak to us, would say, Father, forgive me. I don't know what I can do to deserve any of your blessings or your grace. I don't deserve nothing. If anything, I deserve hell. If anything, that I should have been in hell a long time ago. But you made a way where it will not cost me one red cent. And why do we always, and you hear that out, not just in a pulpit, but you hear that among people when they're talking about prices and everything, and talking about giving something away. And I've heard people that don't even go to church, that's not even saved, they say, it don't cost you nothing. Won't it cost you one red cent? Why do they say that? Why? Because they have got to know something about the Lord and His precious blood. Because it was His blood that paid the price for me. And why did He pay that price? So I would be saved with no conditions attached to it. That I would just believe and trust Him. That I would just go about glorifying the Father and lifting the Father up. Because they see that's what His Son done. All the years that He walked on this earth, He always says, not my will be done, but thine be done, which was speaking of the Father. Jesus Christ always wanted the Father's will to be done. And Jesus Christ, He knew that He was going to have to go to the cross. And after He went to the cross, and after I accepted Him, years later, over 2,050 years later, Christ provided me with His righteousness. Through His security in the blood. That's the reason I'm here this morning among you people. That's the only reason that I'm here. I'm here because of what Jesus has done, not what I've done. Because if it was done, if I do what I wanted to do, I wouldn't even be in church today. I wouldn't be in church. I wouldn't even be sitting in the pews. That's the reason I'm here. That's the reason I'm here this morning with you people. And that's one reason I'm up here studying the Word of God. That's one reason I'm up here reading the Word of God. It's not by me. I don't have the power to do that. It's only through the Son of God.
Why? Because, like I said earlier, because of faith. Faith. You know, faith is a whole lot to faith. It's more to faith than what we give it really credit for. Because, see, faith is the key that will unlock the doors I hear. Faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ will unlock that heart's door that we go to. But sometimes the reason when we go to them, and yes, and we'll go to them, and it don't seem like the heart's door has ever been opened. But we have to realize when we go to them, we have to go with 100 or surety of faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do what He said He's going to do. Sometimes we're getting there, and I've been out with preachers before and visiting and everything, and the first thing that they'll do when the individuals open the door and they'll invite us on in into the house, and the first thing the preacher will do, some of them non-preachers, but they will start in on them. And they'll say, "Are you saved? You go to church anywhere?" "Well, you know you ought to go to church." "No. I believe in what, in the book of Proverbs it says, we need to show ourselves friendly. We need to be a friend to them. And if we can be a friend to them, then it won't be no hard time. It won't be nothing hard to them to understand." Why? Because they know that we're going to have their best interest at hand. That we're going to, and the reason that we come there is because we love them. Why? What does a friend do? A friend sticks closer than a brother. A friend knows all about you, but is still with you. Is still there with you until the end. A friend will never leave you nor forsake you. We don't have many friends like that anymore, because the friends, the whole lot of time we call them friends, we'll call them, you can call them anything else but a friend, because you can't put your confidence in them. You can't you just can't put confidence in them. You just can't. You can't think that, well, if they've been my friend for years, well, they're still my friends. You can try them, and you see how your friends are. You can just tell them something. You can just come up and just tell them something that's a little gossip in it, that maybe you can say, "Well, I done this. I shouldn't have done this." And then you can wait and you can see how long it takes for it to get out to among other people. And if it gets out, if they go and tell somebody else, they're not a friend to you. A friend is a friend, I believe, that will pray for you. Not only for you, but will pray with you. And not even worry about what the problem is or anything. They said, preacher, just come to the altar. We just want to pray for you. We just want to lift you up. We don't know, we don't need to know nothing. We're just going to lift you up to the Lord. But a whole lot of times we go about and we'll say this and we'll say that. We'll tell everything that we know about the individual. And I'm just as guilty about that as anybody else. But what we need to do is, like me, I need to bring my brother up to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know the condition of my brother. You know the condition of his heart. Touch him. Visit him, Father. I shouldn't go around just saying stuff because it will get back. And the things do get back to people. And I've understood that. Sometimes I've understood it the hard way. It does get back to people. And that's one reason that I say, if you got somebody for me to want to go visit, all you have to do is just write their name down and address. And I promise they will never know where I got the name or the address from. Because I don't want to discourage them. Sometimes, and that discourages people. And with the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can keep the power. We have power at our grasp. We have power that is right there for our takings as Christians. And just use it the way God wants to use it. Not to use it in a way that, well, I have the power of God just to touch you and to heal you from this disease and from that disease. I don't have that kind of power. But God does. God has the divine power. What power God gives me is not divine power. Because if it was, then go ahead and touch people. But He has the divine power. But He gives me the power to speak out with boldness, like Brother Bill brought up this morning. Boldness. We need to, and I like what Bill said when he was talking about that. We need to pray for more boldness. We need to pray that we will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will not be ashamed of our salvation. And we will not be ashamed of our service. And we will not be ashamed of the security that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time or last days. We're going to be revealed when we get to heaven. There's going to be some people that we didn't ever think that would ever be there in heaven. But they're going to be there. But then we're going to have some people that we made sure that they was going to be right there in the middle of it. Of everything happening there in heaven. Why? Because they was in church all the time. They were singing about God's praise. They was thanking God for this and that in a church house. But when they went outside into the world, the world saw them as they are, as the world is. And we're not going to see them. Because I believe that if you come in the house of the Lord, and if you worship the Lord here, then you have just as much right to go through them doors and outside and into the places of business like the mall, Kmart, Walmart, and places like that where we spend our hard-earned money at. That yes, we can let people know who we are and how close we are to Him. We can let them know that I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. But of what I am ashamed of some of the things that I did not do, that He wanted me to do. I'm ashamed of that. But as far as being a Christian, no, I'm not ashamed of that. And we need to realize that the only way that we can do that, and the only way that we can go forth, is by His power and by His faith. Not only that, I believe the Christians today will be more faithful in the house of the Lord if they believe in this security that Jesus Christ had for them. They'd want to be in church. Why? Because that's where the blessings of God's at. That's where I want to be at. That's where you want to be at. If you want, and I know, I can speak for you. I can speak for each and every one of you. And I can speak for the one that just left, Sister Nancy, that each one of you want to be in God's house. That's the security that God has given us, that we can be secure in Him. We're not secure in Him when we miss church. When we miss church, we miss a blessing. God today had 9 blessings. Nine blessings to give out today. Plus 2, I think God has some more blessings that He wanted to give out to other people, that maybe the Lord has spoke through the Holy Spirit, spoke to through the Holy Spirit, and wanted them to be here today. But see, the blessing that they was going to receive They cannot receive that blessing again. That blessing now has passed. That blessing is gone. You say, well, can't they come tonight and receive the same blessing? Nope, sure can't. They cannot come and receive the blessing they lost this morning. But yes, they can come tonight and receive a blessing. Yes. But it's going to be different from the blessing that they have had for them this morning. God has blessed each one of us to come out this morning. Why? Because we love Him enough that we want to be in God's presence. We can't see God. I can't touch God. Verbally, I cannot hear God. Spiritually, I can see God. Spiritually, I can hear Him. I can hear His voice. Spiritually. Spiritually, I can see God. Spiritually, I can speak to God. Spiritually, He's right here with me. But the same verse over there in chapter 6, I believe it is. I forgot which it is now. But it's talking about Thomas. Chapter 20. It's only in chapter 20. In the latter part of them verses down there. It goes on. In the latter part of the last, I think it's the next to the last verse or something up there. The last portion of that verse. Blessed. Blessed are you because you have not seen me. But Thomas, he seen Him face to face. He spoke to Him. He touched Him. He knew who He was. But He didn't say blessed to Thomas, did He? Blessed. We are blessed because we have not seen Him, but because we have believed. Everyone stand, all heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Bill comes this morning. We're going to have a song. If there's anyone here this morning would just like to come to the altar, the altar is always open. You come and you pray. You ask the Lord to help you in what avenue you need to be helped in.
Page 222.